Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hi, girlfriend.
How you doing, girlfriend?
I'm Christine Marie.
Yes, you
that
are.
That makes you Julie Marie.
Yes. And to,
who are we?
Mother and daughter.
But we're more than that. Is that enough? That's enough.
We are coaches.
We work together.
You're a psychotherapist. I've got my master's in instructional design. I'm creating courses right now. I'm right now in the process of making my capstone, my thesis, into a pretty effing awesome course.
Yeah, and a book.
So that's where I'm like putting all my attention.
It's so awesome, really. Yeah. You know,
awesome. The key of awesome.
Super.
And so stay tuned. But I wanted to say thank you, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. And I hope
we
bring joy to your day.
We'd
and
like
I hope
to.
That you feel like you're part of the family.
Yes.
Because sometimes you just need.
Because you are.
You really are. Sometimes, because some of your people out there are literally part of the family. if we took the DNA test.
You're my brother from another mother.
But, you know, literally, aren't we all just basically part of, you know, Genghis Khan? I mean, he's, you know, he had spawned a lot of different children out there by force. So, I mean, we all got some DNA together.
Oh,
we're all part of.
Speaking of DNA.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can always tell that it's fall around here.
Yes.
Because, number one, our garden has spawned its last cucumber.
I found two beautiful small cucumber, but beautiful. Had no hint of orange.
Yeah.
All right. Underneath, they were hiding. This lovely vine was hiding underneath the underneath the tomatoes.
Wow.
And I just like going, holy cow! There's a couple cucumbers.
Yeah. Because we thought that they were out, and we still have tomatoes. And look, this has been my summer of tomato cucumber salad
daily.
Daily.
Twice.
Three times a day. I think I'll have a tomato and cucumber salad.
Yep.
But, excuse me, when we were planting, we had gone to the high school.
Yeah.
And that's where they have this great big greenhouse, and they start the plants. And so that's where we bought our plants. And the guy goes, you know, would you like this? And it was like about 2 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like so sad.
Mm-hmm.
It was so tired. It was bent over.
Yeah.
It had little tiny, I guess it had some roots and stuff. And, excuse me, we said, well, what is that? He said, eggplant.
Yeah.
And we put a little spot, maybe 6 by 6 inches.
Yeah.
We planted it. We watered it. Nothing. And then it started kind of, we had lots of rain this season, and it started looking a little, I don't know.
Started growing
a little bit. It didn't look so sad, so tired, so lonely. And last week, what did we have?
We had eggplant parmesan. I had eggplant for the first time in my life.
Parmesana.
So it just always looks so funny to me. Like, what's this about?
This little guy delivered one perfect purple eggplant. Had a little green lid on it.
Yeah,
it was
so beautiful.
Like you see in cartoons, you know.
It was so beautiful.
I know. And so we sliced it,
mm-hmm.
and we breaded it with Italian breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Fried it up and put... You didn't do that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
I was just thinking, like, I know I'm looking
I'm reading
kind of,
at your
yeah,
face.
Yeah, I'm looking at my face. I'm just trying to think, like, why didn't it produce any more? I mean, there
just
were several flowers.
Yeah.
And there were several places where I thought, this is going to turn into an eggplant.
It's going to do something.
But it never did. Yeah. And I just one day came back, and I'm like, there's an eggplant.
There's just one eggplant.
And it was
probably about 7 inches, do you think? 8 inches?
Yeah. That's what she said.
Yeah.
but it was, you know... We go to our garden frequently.
Almost every day.
Yeah. We would water it almost every day.
Yeah.
And I would watch and tend to this plant. And I'm going, this is a beautiful plant. And I had some little pretty yellow flowers. And I would see a bee around. I'm like, you go, bee.
Mm-hmm.
You go. And then I'm like, come on. You know, I'm like, this is going to be an eggplant.
You're giving it the cheerleader.
Yeah. And then one day I came back, which would could have been like in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I would have had a camera on
this
thing.
Wouldn't that have been amazing?
Because it just literally
appeared.
One of those
time-lapsed cameras.
Yes, it literally just appeared.
Yeah.
I go, well, this is interesting. This is great, you know? So, I don't know. I mean, I just want to know, where are the other eggplants?
Well,
what happened?
I am grateful. Honestly, I am grateful for that one. Because honestly,
it was a freebie.
We didn't pay for it. I understand that, but the idea that we planted it,
yeah,
that we put Miracle Grow on it. Yep. I mean, it was just a sad looking little thing,
yeah,
and yet it produced that thing for us.
Oh my gosh!
To have that eggplant parmigiana, it was delicious.
It was delicious,
and I mean,
it as hors d'oeuvres.
Yes,
it was intentional.
Yeah.
I mean, because I didn't have enough to make like a whole.
Normano came home and said, where's my eggplant parmesan?
Here's three slices of eggplant with your... Or did I even save any for him?
You did not save any.
I didn't save any for him, yeah.
You didn't save any for him.
I'm like, sorry, bud.
I said it was good.
It was good. It was good enough.
It was good.
Well, when you're not eating noodles,
yeah,
and you're like, well, I guess this is good. I can take this. This can take the place of noodles, you know? It doesn't taste exactly like a noodle.
No.
But,
No.
Mm-mm. You're talking, and what came to me is that we co-created with this plant's job.
Yes.
It was only there to provide us with an eggplant.
Yeah, I mean,
and it saw its life. How awesome is that?
And here's the thing: when we planted that,
that's my seed. Everybody, sorry.
It wasn't a cucumber. It wasn't a tomato.
No,
you know, it wasn't this or that. It was an eggplant.
Right.
Within that little tiny 2-inch thing that looks so sorry.
Yeah.
Was this eggplant? I'm just amazed by it still.
I know.
And we still have plenty of tomatoes left.
We're getting to the end of it. It's coming close.
Yeah.
And I started to feel slightly bad about my cucumbers because I probably had to throw away 10 to 20.
I know.
Because we were producing so many.
I know.
And we were having them all the time. I gave them away as much as we could. People were having signs, please, no
please
more cucumbers.
No more, our food pantry had a big sign.
No cucumbers.
No more cucumbers.
So thank you, little bees, for doing your job. I appreciate that.
And your cousin, Jamie, she's asked for, we produce some beautiful herbs.
Yes.
And she said she'll take some.
Yes. I'm thinking she might have felt, you know, like...
Obligated?
Obligated.
You will take this.
Please take these.
What are the herbs again?
Oregano and sage.
Yeah.
Now... They look pretty. I think I could use that for ground cover. I think we should use herbs for ground cover now because they just are so hardy. Holy cow.
That's cool. They had no problem growing.
You know, we've had this garden before, but not for several years. And we always had just one plot.
Right.
We usually just had tomatoes.
Right.
And never a very good job. They just, you know, like, yeah. But this was a really good,
productive.
Yeah.
We had onions that really are... tangy.
They're strong. Yeah, and they're strong.
I've loved them.
I
chop it up at my tomato and cucumber salad.
Yes,
you know?
You do. And I think it's interesting how in the beginning of the season we just had lots of, like, our lettuces were doing great, you know. Remember we had lettuce? Yes, we had lettuce.
Oh,
we
had leaf lettuces. That came and went in a hurry.
Yeah, we had several different kinds of leaf lettuce.
That's right.
And so, because then I realized, well, those were an early summer vegetable.
And they just
And then they got rid of it. Yeah, then the cucumbers came in. And then we kept waiting for the tomatoes. Come on, tomatoes. And then the tomatoes came in.
Yeah. And in the meantime, our old guy
would give us garlic.
His garlic came in. And we had like... boatloads of garlic.
And so I realized that...
It was awesome.
First off, I give many props to the people who supply us with cucumbers all year round.
Yes.
Because I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
So you
There's
must
a
have...
a secret.
Yeah, they must... I guess it's not the same plant. So plants just have their own lifespan because... Yeah. I have tended to my cucumber plant and it is dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the leaves are wilted.
Right.
And I talked to my gardener man, and I'm like, what do you think I've done wrong? He goes, you've done nothing wrong. Because I just assumed it would be flourishing and beautiful until the frost.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes, you've seen the corn out in the fields, Julie. I go, yeah. He goes, well, they're all turning brown, not because
that you did something wrong.
Yeah, the farmer didn't tend to them. That's their crop. It is. Everything has a season. I'm like, all right, thank you, Mr. Sage Gardener.
Thank you, Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
Everything there is a season. Well, and also, we also know that the season is ending and fall is here because it's the straw bale design
contest. Which I didn't know was a thing, but it's a thing.
It's a big thing.
Where people take artists from all over the world
come to Little Dixon and
Well, different places around our area. We just do the scarecrows, and they're usually done by local artisans. But, and this year, right now in Rochelle, and it might be happening in someplace else too, but I know but I know for sure this year in Rochelle.
Yeah.
I was driving through Rochelle, and I noticed that they have dropped off these huge round, you know, they're eight yes. feet tall
oh, yeah.
bales of hay scattered all across the city. Mm-hmm. And that only means one thing.
One thing, people.
The artists are coming, and they will take this bale of hay, and they will create, you know,
amazing Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, Planet of the Apes. You know,
Dorothy
you got this,
and the Wizard of Oz.
Exactly. I think it's the Statue of Liberty is a mm-hmm. common one I've seen.
The Three Bears.
You know, Goldilocks with her little bed.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes a Simpsons character. It's a Death Star half-eaten, you know, a Cookie Monster. Tons of things, horses, lots of interesting things done by hay. A year ago when I saw this, I called my brother right away, and I texted Quinn too. I don't call a millennial. You know, the millennials.
You do not call millennials.
They won't answer.
Yeah. Only, they don't answer their texts either.
No, they don't. I live in a flow. I invoke all my sage and meditative practice when I talk to a millennial because mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, I'll get to you when I get to you. And yeah. I, you know,
doesn't really, you're
and
no
I'm
biggie.
Not like I'm dissing you either. Mm-hmm. I'm not dissing you. We're just, you know, mm-hmm. when it's the right time for us both, we'll yeah. communicate.
Yeah.
But she's very artistic. And I wanted to say, hey, let's get a team together and let's create this thing. And they didn't grasp it. They weren't like, yeah, man.
Let's do the straw.
I think my brother was like, yeah, maybe we can do this. Maybe it'd be kind of cool. But I think because he didn't see it, he wasn't all in.
Yeah.
And so.
You had to really see it and understand the artistic technique behind the straw. What would you call it? Straw?
Straw sculpturing.
Straw sculpturing.
Yes. And my millennial girl, you know, Quinter, she takes sculpturing. She does a. ceramics right now. She runs a space out.
Mm-hmm.
For $15 for twice a week, she gets to come in. You got to buy your own clay.
Mm-hmm.
And she And she gets to come and use somebody else's place and mm-hmm. kiln and all
That's
that.
So smart.
That's so smart. Yeah. Right? Come
it's
on.
It's so beautiful.
They're popping up all over the place. I love this idea of not having to own your own stuff.
Yeah. Pop up.
Yeah. Like the Kardashians. We should take note.
Take
However,
note, people.
I do want to say something. You brought up the word DNA. One,
well,
oh, go ahead. You're good. No, you tell me the story for it. You go for it.
I've been heading in that direction.
Have you? Okay.
The whole time.
Have you?
Yes.
And my Genghis Khan direction, too.
Well very Khan. Similar, because I was thinking, you know, about fall and not just straw sculptures, but hay rides. And
go for it.
And because Julie is a volunteer at our Natchusa Grasslands, last Saturday they had the hayride through the grasslands.
Yeah.
And you got to see our herd of bison close up.
Yes.
Very close.
Very close.
Close enough to have them breathe their hot breath on you.
Yes.
And there was only five people, and you got into the last hayride of the
right.
day. And there was only five people.
Yeah.
And one of them was from, I'm going to tell this joke first.
Okay, go for it. You tell
one
joke.
Of the guys was a guy from Elk Grove Village.
Yes.
And
the one
you
right
were
next
explaining,
to me.
I used to live near there. The guy goes, oh, you did? Yeah. And then Julie said.
Well, because he was telling me a story about these, how he saw these two coyote take down this deer in the woods next to him in Elk Grove Village.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I said.
He said, the woods, is that, and these are very common woods that if you live in the area, and it's spelled.
It's like Central Park.
Yeah, it's spelled B-U-S-S-E.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody knows that it's pronounced Buzzy Woods.
Everybody knows it's called that.
No. Anyway, it's called Bussy.
Yeah.
But Julie, in her wisdom, is talking to this man, and she's just rattling off over and over again. And, you know, the things that you discover in Pussy Woods, and the guy's like,
Bussy. Like, oh, that's right, Bussy.
Oh, Bussy. His eyes were getting bigger and bigger.
And in my head, as soon as I said it, I go, that can't be right, but I am laughing hysterically inside. And I'm going, I wonder if this man knows that I am so hysterically laughing inside, I can barely contain myself. Today, during our class, we had a meditation. Do you know I almost lost my shit during our meditation today?
No, which one was it?
We did a chakra clearing during our class. Yes. And I'm in the mood, I'm in the moment, I'm really centered.
Yes.
And I say, during the meditation, I said, now, and, oh, no, no, this is describing a certain meditation that can be done before you go to bed. And I go, see your hand rubbing your root chakra.
I missed it.
Rubbing your root chakra. I go, no, 3 inches above your root chakra. Yeah, see yourself. Take your hand now, place it on your root chakra. Rub it. It's okay. Motion. I was visualizing this. And I'm like, wait, 2 inches above your root chakra.
Oh, that makes a big difference.
It does. I thought,
oh, that's hysterical.
I almost lost my shit again. I just peed myself a little bit.
Yeah. Going back to the hayride, yeah, and going through the Nechusa grasslands with the bison, your guide who's giving the tour is on the hayride, and he's talking, and he said, you know, we have to, you know, first of all, he said that our herd is getting so big that next spring they're going to have an auction,
right,
and they're going to have to thin the herd a little bit. And then he said something that I thought was pretty fascinating, and I hope I'm going to get this story right.
Yeah, go for it.
He said, we've had all of our calves DNA tested.
Yes.
And he said something like 90% of the calves came from this one father.
Right.
And he goes, he's no longer here.
He's no longer here.
Because we found out that he's too aggressive.
Too alpha.
Too alpha. Too much, you know, and we can't have calves that have that kind of like big aggressive.
Right.
And I thought to myself, you know, this may look good on the surface, but you think about like this majestic lion in the woods,
yeah,
and you know his whole life he's been like the pride and I'm the king of the forest, yeah, you know, and doing every freaking little lioness coming around, you know, and got all his like, and you know, and then some like white man comes and makes him,
well,
you asked him if he was dog food.
I go, is he?
Is he dog food?
I didn't say dog food, but I said, is he food now?
Yeah. Or is he at the farm?
Is he? Yeah. Wink, wink,
wink,
wink. Nudge,
did
nudge.
He get sent to the farm?
Yeah. He goes, I don't know. He knew. He didn't want to share.
He didn't want to share.
Well, hearing you
but
talk,
that made me feel so sad, Julie.
Well, that's because
I think like a, here's this man, you know.
So you're basically
every little.
You're basically a conservative. Can I tell you why? When you're talking, all of a sudden this had a great analogy for me. It's because what happened is, you know, if you're like, do you believe in the equal, like equal outcome, equal opportunity?
Uh-oh.
You know?
Or do I believe in
the
survival of the fittest?
Yeah. Because what happens...
Dog eat dog?
Yeah. Because what happens is you take survival of the fittest long enough, you got a herd just all filled with your
alpha males.
Well, no, you got one alpha male spreading all of his seed.
Yeah.
And then all those people, those buffalo spread their seed. And now you got a lot of sick, you know, you need a variety of DNA to have a healthy population. And that's the key.
They were not sick because they're aggressive.
No.
They're just sick because they're weaker?
Well, no, because you can't have, you're going to have brothers and sisters mating with each other. I think that's not healthy in any population.
Got it.
But, I mean, in the wild, they wouldn't be testing, mm-hmm, you know. So I don't know, back in the day, you're like, oh, you see that herd over there? Yeah, they have one male that followed all those kids. They are the stupidest buffalo I've ever seen in my entire life. They just keep knocking into trees. They're like dumb. They're so dumb because they just keep mating with each other. You know, I don't know if that's good or not.
Oh.
Because there is that one, is it Babo? There's a kind of monkey. are an orangutan that just likes to mate.
Yeah, but that's all they do is have sex.
But the one thing they will not do is
the moms won't F the sons.
They will not have sex with their sons.
Yeah, I'm not. Should I be saying effing?
No, okay. They don't. It's mating. Yeah. They have some kind of internal this is not right for DNA.
Yeah.
We need to have a more diverse DNA group. You know, but it is interesting. So we're as humans and thinking and knowing this, and for whatever reason, that bison herd couldn't figure that out. So we had to.
You figure it out for them.
Right.
Which meant that
all the other males.
Got a chance now.
They're like, thank you. God. Get rid of you. A little bit like taking from the rich and passing it, distributing it.
Oh my God. They were distributing
distributing the vajayjays around. Because one guy had it all.
You say vajayjay. I can't say effing.
No, what I'm saying is they took the Hugh Hefner, Buff the Bison, and he goes, listen, you've been hoarding all the female bison, and no more.
And they could tell it was him because he had pajamas on.
Yeah, he never got out of his pajamas.
And a little sailor's hat. Captain.
Why did women find that attractive? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know why they find orange hair attractive.
This is true. Then I guess the reason why both Hugh Hefner and President Donald Trump have women is not because of the orange hair or the pajamas and that little hat.
And the sailor hat.
It's something else, correct?
It must be something else.
I can't possibly imagine.
Is it charisma?
Possibly a little bit.
I wonder how they spell that. Does it start with an M?
Yeah. And with a Y.
And, the mummy.
Or it could be mummy issues. Most likely it was daddy issues.
Yeah, most likely.
But I think as women know that they can create their own money, I think those opportunities won't be there as much for those men. They'll have to come to the plate and have a little more to offer.
Yeah. So the female bison, when they can create their own income.
Yeah.
They will not need that guy.
When they can build their own sperm bank and just have the variety, and their own doctors. It's like, all right, Sarah Bison has to go to school now and learn how to become a fertility doctor, so we don't have to worry about this anymore.
All right, you see a herd of bison, and all the females are wearing the handmaiden.
Oh, no. Jesus. I mean,
we're just vessels.
Yeah, we're just.
For that guy's semen.
Yeah. I haven't watched that because I don't have Hulu. Is it? Are they like that because the rich women can't have babies, or they don't want to have babies because they don't want to ruin their bodies? I'm just curious.
I don't know, girlfriend.
I mean, you know.
I know. And I wish I could tell you the answer.
Yeah. Okay.
I could guess.
Right.
But I imagine but behind closed doors, I bet they take those handmaiden hats off.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
For sure. So that was very interesting.
Yeah, I found that extremely interesting.
So you know that from last week, the old men love me. I don't know why.
Old men really they find you hot.
And then they have no
problem. And our master gardener.
Yes.
He loves you.
And they have
He's
no problem telling my parents.
Exactly.
So my father, once again, was delivering. And my father is has a burden of hearing this from other guys, which is just, I thought that was a thing you never did.
Awkward.
You never crossed that line.
But I
want
to tell you something about your daughter, Normano.
Yeah. So he ends up going to a job site that we've been to in the past from a different job, though.
Right.
And he meets up with an old guy that we used to work with. And old, I don't even know why I'm saying he's old. He just comes across older than he is. He's only 62.
Yeah. Spring chicken.
Spring chicken. Exactly. So he ends up talking to my dad. He's like, hey, how's Julie doing? And it's so cute because he talks to Julie and goes, because we've talked before. I know this guy well.
No, you talk at night to him.
Yes.
He gets you up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
and says,
we're both
Julie,
driving.
Go look at the sky tonight.
I know. He's my star man.
And you both are looking at the same star, making the same wish.
Yeah.
I wish I wasn't driving this damn truck anymore.
Exactly.
At 3 o'clock in the morning. When you wish
there's only two kinds of traffic, construction and snow or whatever it is. So then he ends up telling my dad about how, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I one time called and she was with Doug, you know, his
middle of the night.
I'm like, that does not seem like me.
But he's got the story in his head now, though.
Yeah, middle of the night. I called Julie because I want to know. And I wasn't driving that night. Mm-hmm. I was with Doug in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And then Julie had to explain that I'm just her friend from work and that we talk a lot at night. And
in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night. And unless, you know, she wants him to keep you up, she wants to keep him up all night long to talk,
he better just
deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep our relationship separate.
Yeah.
This is. I'm like, that's right. That's right,
man.
Rich.
That's right, Rich. He got the whole story down.
I know. And it is interesting because we both have the same hobbies. Like we listen to WGN radio, Nick DiGiulio at night.
You both call in to try and get, like when you won the Barry Manilow ticket,
yes. He
almost won it.
Yes.
He was going to sing the same song as you were going to sing. She was a showgirl.
Yes. Madonna, Coca Cabana.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I only tried to win those tickets and do that song because you desperately wanted me to. You were like, please.
Bored. I was bored.
Yeah, basically you were bored. Please do this for me. I need to, you know.
I hate doing stuff like that when I'm bored, but that's
well, I love the fact that it's not you doing it. You like to witness me doing something outrageous. And at some point I just said, this is not going to end, so I'm just going to take one for the team.
Yeah.
Because mom will not stop harassing me. And then if I lose the opportunity, she'll go, no, really, what would have cost you to do this for me?
Oh, yeah. It would have been a price to pay.
Yeah. So I'm like, just get over it. Yeah. Take my medicine fast.
Yeah.
Take it in one swipe. And I have to tell you, though, I'm always appreciative after the fact. It's a great story.
It's a story, right?
And if you're wondering what the story is, I had to sing. And to win tickets.
Yeah.
And
On the radio. And there were four judges.
Right. And as I'm listening to the people sing, they would compliment people if they had a dog barking in the background mm-hmm. or they had an accompaniment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, how do I master this? And so I had my dog in the background barking, howling, and I had my dad play guitar, which he doesn't really know. I mean, he thinks he knows.
He was strumming.
He was strumming. And I just said, just strum. I'll work it out. And then and I just started singing. And then they go, wait, Julie, I want to hear more of the accompaniment.
Yeah.
They're like, sure. Okay.
And Elliot's going, ruff, ruff, shut up.
Yeah.
Dad's strumming.
And so when the producer talked to me, he's like, do you know the rules? I'm like, the rules? I go, I have to have an accompaniment and possibly a dog. They like, and he starts giggling. He goes, well, that's not mandatory. I'm like, well, it's too bad, bitches, because I got that going on. And the thing they said was, it was like this wall of sound coming through.
Yes, that you, and then you won the Barry Manilow ticket.
Yes, and it was funny because I said, now I can do verse 2 and 3, but it doesn't end well. And they started laughing. You're like, you're right, it doesn't end well.
It doesn't end well for poor Lola.
No, I mean, you think about death being the best solution. I mean,
or the final solution.
The final solution. There you go. The final solution.
You know, so can I say one more thing too about fall?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you went to Chicago this weekend.
Yes.
And nothing is more beautiful than fall in the city of Chicago. But there was like one last vestige. You went to the beach.
Yeah.
The beach, the one that's like where like the kooky people go to.
I went to Loyola Beach.
Yeah,
which Loyola is just, beach. It's a north side near Loyola. But it's very eclectic.
Very eclectic. And so you found yourself on a beach.
Yes.
With, you know, the people with the fall coming. And you found yourself talking to an old man.
Yes.
And what was this older man that old men love you? What was he wearing?
A banana hammock.
Yep.
Is that what they're called?
Yes.
It's basically a thong.
Banana Republic hammock.
Yes, this was said on the. It was basically a thong.
It was that long.
It was that long.
It said Banana Republic.
Yeah. And you just go, do not look, do not stare, do not go. You know, you just, you know. And he was all in his glory, man.
Yeah.
All in his glory. And, you know, when you're an older dude, I'm not saying anything that people.
He might have been European.
Yes. But when you're an older dude or any, you know.
He certainly wasn't Jewish.
Seriously. But what happens is that you really don't know. Like, everything's sagging anyway.
Yeah.
So I really don't know how, you know.
How long it was.
But I just know that
sometimes the balls are longer than
that. That's exactly right.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I just know that it was a pretty big amount of material for a banana hammock. Yeah. I'm like, you know, you go. I'm just, and it was.
Was it like a thong in back?
Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. And what was very interesting, not just, this is why I say it's very eclectic, and you just have to go in.
Was it yellow?
It kind of was. Is that the standard color?
For banana? What were you thinking was yellow?
No, I mean, you didn't say it because you said banana. I'm like, oh, bananas are yellow.
Yeah.
Therefore, are all banana hammocks yellow?
Yeah.
I didn't know if that's true or not.
Oh, but you thought I was pretty amazing when I said, was it yellow?
And I
you
said, went, yeah.
How do you know?
And now I realize it's banana.
Yeah.
You know, was it shaped as a banana?
I didn't have her banana hammock in purple. Excuse me. That would be an eggplant hammock.
An eggplant. Ba-boom, boom. Here's the picture. Let me paint the picture for you. Talking to this guy for a few seconds as he's dropping his drawers and, you know, out comes his banana, you know, like, whoa, okay, he's good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then no more than 10 feet away is a very conservative family, and the women are going into the lake, and they are dressed from head to toe.
Do they have, like, little hats on and stuff,
Oh,
too?
Yeah. No, they've got the whole shebang.
Oh, like Murka.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's awesome.
But they have pants. Their Murka is designed to be like a pant.
Yeah, kind of like a Hammer Time.
Yeah. So you've got a family dressed, you know, men and women. And the men can wear not pajamas, but they can wear swimsuits, but they're like longer swimsuits or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the women are dressed from head to toe, and they're going into the lake. This is what I wear when I go to swim in. And I'm like,
of course.
I would assume that they would fill up with water and drown you.
But Our float.
You're like, take me high. And so
the women have their own flotation device.
Yeah. And so I'm like, this is very interesting. Everybody's just getting along. We can all get along here.
We can all get along. And is this a doggy beach as well?
No, actually there's a sign. No dogs allowed on this beach.
All right.
And then there was some filming going on, the lot next to us. I don't know what it was, but some kind of filming. And then also, it's a gay community as well.
Yeah, you were telling me about the gay couple, that black and white.
Yeah.
They were kind of chunky.
Yeah.
Which is cute. They were
right.
Kind of older.
Well,
chunky.
Initially I'm like, oh, just, you know, everybody's here, just a couple of guys coming out swimming, you know, and they go out into the lake and they're each holding each other and like one's holding each other like, and they're like, you know, and I'm like, and I start feeling weirdly weird, not because they're gay, but I'm like, dude, I don't need to see, you know, public displays of affection.
Right.
And I got to feel like I got to be kind to this guy I'm with.
The guy with the banana hammer.
Yeah. I gotta be
in stimulus overload at this point.
Doug, first of all, he's like, where the hell are we? Because then there's this kid that walks by.
We're not in Kansas
and
anymore.
He looks like he's from Syria, like Aleppo, you know, Aleppo.
Yeah,
because
what about Rwanda?
No, not that big. He's missing an arm.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said Rwanda.
Could be any place.
Yeah.
And I go, you know, is he an immigrant? Did he come here?
Or is he in a swimsuit?
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And so we just see him missing. You know, I'm just like the
And that's the beach.
Here we are. Mm-hmm. Everybody from every walk of life is here.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. You've got, quote unquote.
And they were like going, who are these two rural people?
Oh, we couldn't have looked.
Fit in anywhere.
We could have looked more out of place. You know. You know. And it's so, this is so funny. So we took our shoes off and we go into the lake. And it's just filled with, this lake is very pebbly. You know, lots of pebbles on the beach. And then, Doug, we get out of the lake, and we're like, I had brought my swim trunks along if I wanted to go swimming, and I just said, no.
No.
Because then am I in it, then I'm wet the whole day.
Yeah.
It's just not, I'm not there for that.
Yeah.
And I come back out, and Doug, whatever, has stepped on something that was brown and possibly turd-like.
In the water?
Something.
Ooh.
Or on the beach.
Yeah.
Because he had his long strip of brownness on his foot that was dirt. And he's like, I don't know what this is. It looks like poop to me. It's brown.
But we're in Chicago.
On the beach. Where would I step in? You stepped in poop. I don't know what kind of poop it was.
In Chicago poop.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like a long turd poop. I don't know. Not a tiny turd, but a little bird. tiny turd.
Yeah. What were we talking about? We said tiny turds.
Oh, because Elliot is now officially.
Yeah.
Elliot has DNA tested.
Yeah. Elliot had his DNA tested.
And found that he's allergic to life. And we committed to doing the right thing by getting him the hyperallergenic food.
Which is expensive, but he no longer has man poop.
No.
He has
tiny turds.
We call them tiny turds. Yeah. Welcome to Tiny Turd Town.
Yeah. So we're not sure how this is all going to flesh out in the end. Like, yeah. Will he gain 10 pounds? Or?
Unless he's found a hiding place.
Which could be.
That we have not discovered yet. But let me get back to the beach real quick.
Yeah.
One of the reasons that you went to the beach is our very good friend from our French-Canadian friend, Francine. Yeah. It was her birthday, and it was her 60th birthday. Yeah. And so you wanted to, you know, build maybe some kind of sand castle.
Yeah.
But you definitely wanted to write 60 in the sand.
Yes.
And take a and have a picture of it, and then take a picture of the Chicago skyline.
Yeah.
She's a fanatic fan of the Bears.
Yes.
And but
who won on her birthday?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So but I felt was interesting is when I looked at the picture that you guys took, I felt like subliminally it had really reflected what you were thinking at the moment.
Oh.
Because instead of having a big 60 in the sand, it definitely looked like go. Like,
oh, you're so smart.
Go.
Okay, just go.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
You do not belong here.
Yeah.
This is not where you're supposed to be. Excuse me.
That was my brother from the same mother.
Brother from the same mother?
Yeah. We'll call him back later on. He knows what I'm doing right now. What the hell is he thinking of?
Hi, Gregor. That was you in the phone,
That was you in the phone. You know. I know you hear the podcast. That was you. Hi, my brother.
Hello. Hello, Punk Cat Films.
Yeah, exactly. Go to my YouTube channel, Punk Cat Films.
Yeah, Dr. Alex Takaro here.
Yeah. So it was a very interesting time. And so, like I said, everybody was represented. We had a group of guys walk by, and they all had their yarmulkes on. And
did they have the curls?
These guys didn't.
Uh-huh.
But she lives in an area where just one block away, mm-hmm. it's a pretty Hasidic Jew area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it. One thing you like about this area, this Chicago, is you're literally one block from the next community.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and it's the same grocery stores, but with a different title on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there are some things I had to look up, like this one house, and I can't remember what it was, but this one house had some kind of a word on it that was like a place of business. And I'm mm-hmm. like, what does that mean? And I had to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't clear, except that I think what it was products and stuff for this certain holiday. And I'm like,
was it a Jewish holiday?
Yes, it was. But
interesting.
But it wasn't necessarily food, and it wasn't necessarily just all party supplies.
Got it.
It was specific.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
And that's Douglas, but I can call him back. They both know what the hell we're doing. I don't think. Now you would think.
Now Normano calls next.
Yeah. And the volume is finally off. You would think I would have learned by now, but I didn't. I digress.
One thing that all these diverse people that you're talking about, the gays, the Jews, the Aleppo people,
the rural Amish, country hicks, I guess that I was.
The country proud. One thing that you'll find, I think, that is the glue that holds this whole community together.
Yeah.
May I say what it is?
Mm.
It starts with a W and ends with a D. Weed.
Oh, weed. 110%. Everybody
you look
there.
At me like, what starts with a W and ends with a D?
What would Donald
would?
Do? No, I know that's not it.
Wed?
WD. Weed. 110% weed.
The smell of weed permeates.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I don't know, 110%. There were some pretty conservative people there. But I do like...
They just do edibles.
They just do edibles. Thank you. They're not into the smoking. That would be bad for the lungs. But from what I understand now, smoking weed is different than smoking weed in the past because it's just so much stronger. It's like one or two hits and you're done.
You're done.
Same thing as the vape. I didn't realize this, but you know, you shouldn't vape a lot from smoking because like one or two hits and you've got the same kind of nicotine as smoking like two or three cigarettes.
Whoa.
Something crazy.
Whoa.
But anyway, I could be off of my statistics. So I'm not a vapor or a smoker, but, but like I said, it was just, I was so happy to be in a place where here's a beach and here we all are.
Yes.
Everybody was represented. And everybody got along, and I'm sure everybody could be offended about something there.
Sure,
you know.
Sure.
You had babies crying. You had people throwing frisbees around. Everybody was, you know, taking in. And the one thing about it is that it was 10 degrees cooler by the lake than it was just a block
nice.
In.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. So it was just a perfect day. And then I had my fill. Because one thing about this country girl who was born, you know, was raised in the suburbs, for heaven's sakes, is that I need space.
Yeah,
and I realized that here I am.
Yeah.
I go, I got a beach on our little lake.
Yeah.
And there's nobody there, but I do have to share it with a lot of geese, which ticks me off because those geese poop a lot.
Yeah.
And the poop is green and white, and it's not the typical brown that Doug stepped in. I do like the fact that you said go. I thought that was cute. Like, go now.
Go now. Let's go now.
Yeah. And we were there to see Doug's daughter, Quinn, the millennial. And we were there, and she lives in one of those apartments that have – they're mostly
10 flights of steps up.
So, yeah, no, you know, no
elevators.
We go up and climb. And they're not really even steps because it's sort of, you know, goes in a circle kind of. So you're basically going vertical. and they asked us to get them
spiral.
They asked us to get them drinks. So they wanted a Coke and they wanted a Sprite. I'm like, who drinks real soda anymore? And so I'm carrying four stuff and I told Joey, you got to come down and meet us because I'm not going to navigate these steps with four large drinks.
What was Doug doing?
He had brought the kids some edibles from Colorado.
So he had to hold the edibles?
Yeah, a small little bag.
Hold the...
Yeah.
Jesus.
And, he asked, do you want me to take them from you? And I'm just like, you know, I don't want to hear you talk about how great you were by holding the drinks. But so we walked to the flight of steps. And all along the way, you know, I manipulated the situation because we were having dinner with them, supposedly. And unbeknownst to me, Doug had called earlier saying to Quinners, can we get there early? And have lunch around and have lunch with you guys like around 1 or noon. And she's like, no, you cannot come early. I will not be ready for you. And to find out she was seeing a friend in the morning and hanging out and going to the farmer's market and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then to find out from Doug, he wanted to manipulate the situation because Scott had asked him to go golfing at night. So he wanted to go see Quinners, come back home, drop me off so he can go play golf with his buddy. I'm like, well, you just said, I go,
why didn't you tell anybody this?
Yeah. And then he goes, but I don't need to go out with Scott. I'm like, okay, well, cancel him early. And to find out Scott had already made other plans and he was with his wife. And I'm like, you guys, you know, let's all be a little honest with each other. Or do we just fly by our seat of our pants and however it works out, it works out? Which could be, because that day was horrible for me, because I got, you know, I had a hard day at work.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep at all that night.
And then you had to go back to...
Yeah. And so, but during that night of working, before I went to Chicago, I was listening to this podcast. And two things I realized. We have a good podcast, you know, but we don't have any real... It doesn't have to pay for our nut.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so consequently, we enjoy our podcast.
We enjoy our podcast.
Yeah.
Compared to people that have to use it to pay for their nuts.
Exactly. And so one of the podcasts I listen to.
Plus, we don't have any nuts.
We don't have any nuts. We're girlfriends.
Neither does Elliot.
But we can have his nuts transplanted or transplanted back in him or something like that.
Yeah. Well,
fake nuts. I guess we literally do have nuts. They're just turned into fallopian.
We're tucked inside.
Yeah. We're all the same stuff, just depending on how it all looks, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know how it all works out, people. However, I digress again. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So on the podcast, listening to Risk, I like this podcast.
I know you do.
And it was the first storytelling podcast that I ever got into. And then all of a sudden, NPR.
They had to get their little.
Yeah, so they had the moth.
We got more stories to tell than you.
Yeah, and they're not dirty like your stories. Yeah. So they have moth and they have snap
decisions. Dirty stories
are
the best stories.
Yeah. Especially in the middle of the night when you're tired.
Yeah.
You're like, you guys are fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, you think you got problems.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and he was saying that, you know, listen, guys, I could really use some financial assistance here. We're working really hard and not paying. I've got four employees. I'm like, mistake number one. Four employees, really. A lot of employees.
Really?
You know, we're doing a lot of work.
That's three too many.
Yeah, exactly. we're not paying them the bills, you know. And I know supposedly... Oh, that was our little dog, Elliot, who saw a squirrel.
Squirrel.
Yeah. And if he starts barking, I'm going to have to take him out. But we only got 11 minutes left of the podcast, 10.
Okay.
So hopefully he can calm himself down.
Yeah.
He knows when the microphone
is on. Sit down, Elliot.
This time of night.
Yes.
He cannot go crazy because of, you know. Okay, so anyway. And so he was basically saying, hey, send me some money.
Begging for money.
Yeah. We're now talking about turning this into a TV show just to support this podcast.
What?
He goes, I'm working way too hard.
And I think
that's what you told me yesterday.
Yes.
I don't want to work this hard.
We shouldn't have to work
in the world of technology and the 4-hour work week.
Yes.
Where does that come into play in our life?
Right.
And so I thought that was very interesting.
Thank you.
And then I end up listening to Sugar. Dear Sugar. And the first thing they said was the producer goes, well, you know that Sugar they're no longer producing new podcasts, but we want to share one that one of our favorites.
Yeah.
Or they came back and did this a little commentary. So they're no longer taking questions.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's interesting. When did this stop?
That's because she couldn't support herself either.
Or it was sort of like, well, what's the point? You know, we're not.
Yeah.
You know,
but Julie, wasn't the podcast about something interesting? I can't remember.
Yes, that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if, I don't know when exactly this podcast dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Because was it in, because of the Kavanaugh nomination and hearing about. What he might have done
to that doctor, Ballsy.
Yeah, that's not her name. That's what you're calling her. Like, you go, girl. You Ballsy. I love it. And you go. We got your back.
That's right.
So,
Professor Ballsy.
So here, yeah, you Professor Ballsy to you. So here's what the letter was to Dear Sugar. And I had to discuss this with my millennials because I said, I need to get coached about this because I consider myself very, very progressive.
Yes.
And Quinters goes, you are progressive. Yeah. I would consider you one of the most progressive adults I know.
Exactly.
Like, okay, but I'm struggling with this.
And here's the thing, too. When I heard it, I told Dad, I had like, I went to El Paso.
Yes.
I went south of the border even.
So here's a story. Woman, I'm going to call her Beth. That's not her name because I can't remember her name.
No, you called her Beth when you relayed the story to me too.
Yeah,
is the guy Frank?
Beth and Frank.
Okay,
I have no idea why.
Mm-hmm.
And if those happen to be their names,
not to the Beth and Frank we know.
Yeah, but anyway, Beth writes that she's been married to Frank for a while now. They've known each other for 15 years. He's a great guy. He's a great father. He's a father now. Wonderful man, great father, and great husband. He's with her in the social activist community. Mm-hmm. Like he's just, you know,
all in. Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
And
does the retirement, the
right
whole thing. Yeah.
And every time a date rape story comes in the news or something like that, you know, Beth would just go ballistic, like how effing dare those men. They just think they can get it with anything way and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Frank goes to her and says, you're about forgiveness, except from this one area.
I've noticed in our 15 years together that you're a compassionate, highly into forgiveness woman, except in this one area.
Right.
We need to talk.
And he goes, here's what happened to me. And this is exactly how Beth wrote it. That her husband told her this, that when I was, let's say 17, 16, 18, right around that age, I don't know the exact age, but very young like that, I was, quote, blacked out drunk.
Which is not passed out drunk.
No.
But blacked out drunk. Which is not even a brownout.
And I was with a woman who was also blacked out drunk.
Yes.
And I had sex with her.
Right.
And
And then the woman, Beth, writes, should I divorce my husband?
Should I divorce my husband? Because I am so outraged with him that I can barely take it.
I cannot even have a man of this kind of character touch my body anymore.
And I go, holy mother of God. I go, okay, this is interesting. And so, and she was just like, I am so, and one hand, I've created a wonderful life with him. Mm-hmm. We have children. Do I give up all this?
And he's an activist with me.
But he literally did this, and I want to leave him. I'm so mad at him.
Right.
And I thought to myself, oh my God, we have a ton of work to do around this thing.
We do.
And so I was talking to Quinners about it, and I said, here's my shocking point. Both Sugars, because it's a man, a female, male, female, you know, host, brought in this other professor who was in women's studies, whatever she was. I'm not 100% sure, but she was one of, you know.
Those kind of people. Sure.
And they wanted to, Frank should be right now, hogtied, on a skewer, rotating around a big fire, slowly cooking so he's tender, the meat's tender. They're like, done. He is a horrible man.
Put a fork in it.
Horrible,
he's done.
Horrible. You know, he's the worst man out there.
Right.
And I worry about his character.
Right.
Because that's not just being drunk. That's a character flaw.
Yeah.
That's a character flaw. And that character flaw is probably still with him now.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the? I go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That really effed me up.
And I told Quinters this. I said, and they, at the end of the conversation, they were like, listen, we can't tell you to leave your husband. Yeah, no, Sherlock. I mean, the guy's got 15 years, they got kids. I'm just like, okay.
So what did Quinter say?
Well, and I go, do you know the one thing that they never talked about? And she goes, the fact that he was drunk, because I know that's a sticking point with you. I go, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I go, she was blacked out drunk, and he was blacked out drunk. Mm-hmm. So if she's not responsible for being in that situation, why is he?
Mm-hmm.
I think he is, but I don't think he's, I think that has to contribute to the fact that, like, bad judgment. When will we learn that alcohol is horrible?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a drinker. I am not a drinker. Not for any reason that.
Other than you're not.
I'm not a drinker.
Yeah.
Also, I have grown up knowing how horrible alcohol is. You know, not just because of the taste, kind of funny or whatever. I like my sugars in the form of chocolate and eclairs. But I know that people do bad stuff when they drink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've told me that when we were 7 years old, you were showing me the advertisements in papers and which they could do.
Right.
You could still get booze.
You could legally.
And you go, show me in the ice cubes where they had the skull and bones at.
Yeah.
Sure enough.
Or the dead bodies.
Or the dead bodies. Mm-hmm. They were always there.
Yes.
Subliminally, you taught me that if you wanted to die, you drink alcohol.
That's right.
Yeah, high five me, girlfriend. High five me. Oh, you're brilliant as a teacher.
Brilliant,
brilliant. Look, Julie, find that. Look at all those rich advertisers. Look what they want to do to you. I'm like, oh my God.
They'll never get me.
You're right. Holy cow. And so Quinters just tells me a story about how she had a friend. They were at a party, and her friend was flirting with this guy all night long. And they didn't realize it, but she was drinking and she was blacking out. Not passing out. I did not know that was a different thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, oh, my God.
They get all sorts of gradations.
So, anyway, she ends up having sex with this one man that she was flirting with the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the sex, she becomes not blacked out,
mm-hmm.
conscious,
mm-hmm.
and cries rape.
Mm-hmm.
I say cries rape. And then the guy goes, I thought that's what you want to do. She contacts the police.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, I guess... The whole thing was the police go, you know, and they go, wait a minute, to find, you know, Quinn, you know, Quinn was saying, like, hey, we all saw you flirting with this guy all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know you were blacked out drunk. And so
we couldn't tell.
We couldn't tell.
Right.
And he was drinking. And so I think when alcohol is involved, I think that doesn't make it less troublesome or painful, but I think we need to tack this at the real issue, which is, hey, stop effing drinking. How about this? Train yourself
mm-hmm.
that if you want to have sex, you got to be sober.
Right.
And guess what's going to happen? A lot less sex is going to go on because the last thing you want to do is sleep with a stranger
right.
sober.
Right.
You're like, because then your brain goes,
who is this person?
How many people have this person banned? Do I like have a condom?
You're smelling their breath.
Yeah, like, oh my
and
God.
Other stuff. Really?
Does he have, is there like a herpes thing going around?
Is this, are the nails this shredded?
Yeah, exactly.
Is he a nail biter? You know, wait, he has no toenails? I don't this get this.
No, stop it. You know Doug's missing a toenail or two. Stop it now. That's off limits. That cut to the core. What's wrong with you? So, I mean, because...
Muddy.
Yes, because you taught me not to let yourself be vulnerable. I mean, don't get drunk around drunk men.
Yeah.
Don't get drunk around drunk men fueled with testosterone. These are lethal combinations, women.
I mean, think of the bison.
Yes. You get, and I'm sorry to say, you get an a-hole that then drinks and who may be sober can put his a-hole aside and squash it down. Mm-hmm. Then you get an a-hole who's almost blacked out. I don't know enough about people who are blacked out drunk
right.
that they can get an erection then. Right. I don't know. But if
think of the bison.
I know. Those guys are blacked out drunk all the time. We have to keep them that way. They find the flowers that are fermented, and they naturally consume it, and then they're blacked out. And then all of a sudden, the women are
babies.
Just like, yeah, we got tons of babies.
Yeah.
I'm the same, you know.
Do you in the 50s,
yeah.
okay, when men talked about rape.
Yeah.
Or the predicaments like this
yeah.
that were sticky.
Yeah.
The final rule was, well, you might as well just lay back and enjoy it.
Yeah. And then
can you believe that?
No, I cannot believe it.
That was our best.
And so and then,
that was our that was
so
our
I have
best
been
information.
Thinking about that because then I'm to the point now where I'm like, we have to really evolve ourselves.
Yes.
Really evolve ourselves.
I know we don't have time. Maybe next week we'll get into it because I have a whole story about me telling Dad this and this story and that how over the course of the next several hours we went down this long, deep rabbit
right.
hole.
Because you have conflicted reviews. We're conflicted. Because talk about the Kavanaugh. You know.
Yes.
This woman has PTSD from that situation.
Right.
Now we don't know what happened. But she says he was totally effed up drunk.
But holding her mouth.
Yeah.
Putting his hand over. She couldn't breathe.
She
thought she was going to die.
Yeah.
I know what that feels like.
By the hands of your father.
Right. My dad strangled me with my
yeah.
muffler.
Yeah, exactly. So you understand that.
Yes.
And then you go, this happened 35 years ago. What if, could he have improved? And I want to talk about this next week, too, because we're heavy.
Just, yeah.
yeah type of, because just, I really do feel that he probably did it. He may not remember the situation the same way it happened with him as it did with her. He'll never come clean with it.
Mm-mm.
But if he would have come clean, and all these men as adults going, you know what? When I was 17 or 18, literally our only goal was to get into the pants of women.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our friends' goal was the same thing.
Well,
his
best friend wrote a book called Wasted. What happened?
Are you lying to me?
No.
Kavanaugh's best friend?
Kavanaugh's best friend, his name is Judge. He wrote a book called Wasted a while back. And the line that is very tantamount to this is said, everybody in the group said, here's the thing. What happens at Georgetown stays in Georgetown.
Are you lying to me?
No, I'm not lying to you.
Okay. So we got some issues here.
We
and
got
you know
some,
what?
We got some
shake
explaining
the sheets
to do.
Because maybe men have to be coached up.
Yeah.
And so.
And are we the ones to do it, Julie?
Yes.
I think
not
so.
Not me. I don't know. At least we got.
I think we can. I got my big rocking chair out there.
Yes. And I want to say this. Millennials, we can meditate our way into feeling better.
Yeah.
We do not have to drink to blackout stage.
And you don't have to do edibles.
And
you don't have to do vape.
You
don't have to do
weed. Why can't you have my God, I just created a new product line. Don't anybody take it, but I'm going to tell it real quick.
Okay.
We need to have edibles, pot, and alcohol, not the high dosage kind.
Yeah.
But like
low dosage.
You can drink, you can suck on this bottle, you can drink 30 beers. And never get drunk. Not non-alcoholic, but just low dose. Like, you know, like that new Silicon Valley thing going on right now?
No.
Low dosing of PCP and low dosing acid. That's a
no.
new thing. Yeah, we'll talk about it next week.
Oh,
tell us to talk about.
Yeah, because I also want to talk about Silicon Valley in the sense.
Silicon Valley. I call it silicone as well. I call it silicone as well.
I wanted to talk about Silicon Valley because I wanted to talk about doggies.
Oh, yes.
And about how.
Until next week.
Too much to talk about. Too much in the top, poor doggies.
So was it a great girlfriend?
It was great.
Love you guys.
It was great.